Celebrate God, to honor God, and to introduce our beloved, our excited woman of God, our apostle, the woman
Oh,
who needs no
Jesus.
introduction, who we know has touched our hearts, has touched our minds, has prayed for us, has been beside our hospital beds, who's been beside, who's been at our homes, who's been through every situation we could ever face. If we ever asked her to pray, we knew full well that she was on bended knee on our behalf. And I
Yes,
thank
Lord.
God for the woman of
Yes.
God that we are blessed with.
Thank you,
She has
Jesus.
served and served and
Yes.
served and been a
Thank
true
you, Jesus.
representation of what it
Thank
means to
you,
walk in the fruit of the Spirit. She has
Thank
exuded
you,
the fruit of the
Jesus.
Spirit in
Amen.
her life and shown us as an example of what it means. So we can be disciples because we are being discipled by a true disciple.
Thank
So
you, Lord.
I am blessed to introduce and present our beloved, our excited Apostle Etta Banks.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 God bless you all. God bless you all. As you know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And of course, you also know New Vision. I am excited. I am excited. I thank God. I want to take the opportunity to tell you and to tell the Lord how much I love him. I cannot imagine a day without him. I have had days without him in the past, and I know I would never want to live through those days again. And even with him in my life, with the trials, the tribulations, the afflictions, and the very things that we go through these things even as a Christian. It's just that our way of viewing them now is different than when we did not have hope, when we did not have Jesus. But with Jesus, there is hope. Praise be unto God. And I do thank the Lord for it. I do thank the Lord for it. Saints of God, you know, for the last, what, month now, we have been dealing with deliverance. We have been dealing with deliverance. And because of us dealing with deliverance here, because of the deliverance teaching that I've done with Cadre, which is the network, that an organization that we belong to, that's our covering and all. Word has got out about my teaching and so forth on deliverance. I have been called to do several deliverance sessions. Praise be unto God. And it's good to see the hand of God moving in the area of forgiveness. Well, in the area of deliverance, in the area of deliverance, and also been doing a lot of studying about the courtrooms of heaven, and combining that with the deliverance information. And God is doing some miraculous things. He is doing some miraculous things, and I am happy. I am glad to be a part of what He's doing now. There was a song that we used to sing back at EBDC. For those of you who don't know what that stands for, it's East Baltimore Deliverance Church or Center. When that's the church I was a member of before becoming a pastor. And the song was, "Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me." And that's, you know, where my heart is. I want to be in the right place. And when I say I want to be in the right place. I want us as a church to be in the right place. I want you individually to be in the right place at the right time for the right reasons. Be there. Be there. The worst place to be is in the place where God has moved on. That's the worst place to be. So we want to be on time, in season, on point, ready for whatever it is that God is doing. So, Father, whatever you're doing, don't do it without me. If it's healing that you're doing, don't do it without me, Lord. If it's deliverance that you're doing, don't do it without me. So, God, use me for your glory, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified. All righty. So, let me tell you this. One of the biggest keys, and I know New Vision, I know we've talked about what I'm about to say. We've talked about it several times over the years. I just need to get a little more into it because of what I'm finding out during these deliverance sessions. A key, a major key, the primary key, to your deliverance or your lack of deliverance, the major key is forgiveness. Saints of God, and those of you, every time I teach, I'm training you. I am training you. So listen and listen carefully. Anytime you are praying for deliverance for somebody, anytime you are personally doing a deliverance session with someone, the first thing you need to do is deal with forgiveness. It is the first thing. It is the key to their deliverance. It is also the key to open doors for demons to come in and take over. It is an open door. So we must deal with forgiveness. I did a deliverance session with someone, and they came with some preconceived ideas. Nobody from this church. This was for another church, and dealing with somebody else. They came with preconceived ideas of how this deliverance session was supposed to go, and the pastor is the one that brought it to me. He brought it to me, and brought his parishioner, to me. And so, okay, so I listened and so forth and so on. I knew, of course, immediately, and like I said, whether I knew it or not from what she said, I know it from the procedure that you should be taking. I knew we had to deal with forgiveness. And this was some deep rooted things that had gone on for almost 50 years, okay? And a lot of forgiveness had to be done. I spent 2 hours dealing with forgiveness, because if we can't bring that person to the place of forgiveness, we need to stop and not go any further and not go any further. Well, when the session was over, beloved, the pastor was disappointed, very, very disappointed, because he had a preconceived idea of what should take place and what the results should be, and so forth and so on. And he's new at this. He's new at this. So, it was okay. But I want to say, don't let somebody else's vision of what deliverance should be, or going into the courtroom of God of heaven, don't let somebody else's vision deter you if you know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, that's like going to the hospital to get brain surgery, and you've got an idea of how the surgery should be done, what the results should be when it's all over with, and you're going to tell the surgeon what to do. Well, the surgeon is the expert. He's the trained person. If he has any sense, he's not going to listen to you telling him how to do the surgery. He's going to do what he knows needs to be done. Saints of God, if you're dealing with people that need deliverance, forgiveness is something that needs to be done. Now, the reason I want to deal with this is because too many times we don't know what forgiveness is. And I have so much information right now, I almost don't know where to begin and where to plug this in and so forth and so on. I'm going to do my best. Part of it, I'm going to come from a therapeutic place. We're definitely going to deal with the spiritual, because that's who we are. But we can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And so I'm going to come from the spirit part, however, come from also a therapeutic part in dealing with forgiveness. Now, Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, it says, "But if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses." Saints of God, you heard it here on New Vision for Life, straight from the Word of God. Forgiveness is supposed to be granted. We are to forgive others. And if we don't, then we won't be forgiven for our offenses. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. Do not think that we can go around doing things to other people coming against the word of God, asking God for forgiveness, and then we are holding bitterness and malice in our heart, and we won't forgive people. If you'll remember in the scripture, it talked about the king who took his forgiveness back from one of his I'm gonna call him a servant, one of his servants who came to the king and asked for forgiveness, and the king forgave him of a debt he owed. And then that same man that got forgiven wouldn't forgive a servant of his who came to him and asked for forgiveness. He wouldn't forgive him of the debt that he owed, but yet this servant went to the king and asked the king for forgiveness. And when the king found out that he did not forgive his servant, the king took his forgiveness back and made the man now you got to pay the debt. You've got to pay the debt. Saints of God, it works both ways. Understand that. We want to be forgiven. Therefore, we must also forgive. When we are angry with someone, full of bitterness and so forth and so on, that is us putting ourselves in a place where we are going to be the one that suffers. Unforgiveness is like you drinking rat poison. Hear me now. You drinking rat poison, and then you're sitting around watching the rat, waiting for the rat to die. Who drank the poison? You did, not the rat. You drank the poison. So therefore, you are the one that's going to die. When we deal with the lack of the lack of forgiveness, or dealing with unforgiveness, we are not controlling the situation that we're dealing with. We think we are. We think we're controlling it. We've put up walls. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me again. I'm not going to let them come near me, and so forth. And we put up all these walls to protect ourselves. And what you did was you put up walls, and you have blocked yourself in. The other person that hurt you is the one that is controlling you, because you're putting up walls because of them, and now you're blocked in. You are locked into a place. You can't give love. You can't receive love. You cannot be free. You cannot enjoy life. You can't go certain places. You can't stand to hear their name. Look at all of what you can't do because you chose not to forgive them. Your freedom comes in your forgiveness. Understand that in forgiveness, some of the benefits from forgiveness is improved mental health. Here's the therapy part, y'all. Improved mental health, improved well-being, reduced negative emotions, improved satisfaction with life, fewer physical ailments, reduced fatigue, better sleep quality, reduced vulnerability to chronic pain, less stress and distress, lower levels of disordered eating behavior, lower levels of self-harm and or suicide ideation, better heart health, lower rates of self-reported pain, lower rates of diabetes, lower rates of cancer, and the list goes on. These are the benefits, praise be unto God, of forgiving someone. These are the benefits of forgiving someone. We should be forgiving people because God needs us to forgive. When we forgive people, we're doing what we have been told to do. However, we're also showing that person the love of God. And we might be the only person that they see that from. And it may be the door opening to them getting to a place where they can come and know Jesus. My mother, and I know I shared this a thousand times, my mother taught me that when it comes to forgiveness, first of all, yes, we are to forgive. And then she had me take it a step further. Ask God not to let what that person did to me keep them from knowing God. Don't let what they did to me keep them from knowing God. Well, one way that it might keep them, get them to know God, is to be able to forgive them and forgive them earnestly. And that could only happen because of God in our hearts. And when they see that, that may open the door for them now to have a relationship with God. And we're asking God, you know, yes, he hurt me. Yes, she hurt me. My mother hurt me. My father hurt me. My brother, my sister, you know, my husband, my girlfriend, whatever the case may be. Yeah, they all hurt me. But don't let what they did to me keep them from knowing you, Lord. Please continue to woo them. Please continue to go after them. Please send somebody, Lord God, that's going to help them come to the place where they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Understand that and us doing this, they need to be forgiven. The people who have hurt us, the people who had hurt us, they need to be forgiven so that they can have some kind of quality of life. And you say, whoa, wait a minute. So they can have some type of quality of life. You want to release them. Thanks to God, you want to release the people that have hurt you. You really do. You want to release them so you, I should have said, can have a good quality of life. I already gave you a list of health reasons and so forth, how you'll be better off if you do the forgiving. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness can be defined as a freely made choice to give up revenge, resentment, or harsh judgment towards a person who caused a hurt, or to strive to respond with generosity, compassion, and kindness towards that person. And when we think of forgiveness, what comes to mind? It's often we thinking about forgiving other people. We're thinking about who has hurt us. Anytime you mention forgiveness, we will think about who hurt us. But there are other forms of forgiveness. What about forgiving yourself? What about the fact that we did something to somebody and we need to seek forgiveness? Very seldom do we, when you hear teachings on forgiveness, you very seldom hear us talking about you seeking forgiveness. What are we supposed to do? You may find out that you may need to accept somebody's request for forgiveness. There will be times when, and this sounds crazy, and every time I say it, it sounds crazy, but hear me, where we have to forgive God. And you say, how can you forgive God? Well, people hold God responsible for stuff that has happened to them. God didn't prevent a death. Somebody in your family died. You prayed for their healing. God didn't stop them from dying. You are now mad at God. You are mad at him. So for your sanity, you have to come to the place where you can say, God, I forgive you, but you better hurry up and say, forgive me for blaming you. Forgive me for blaming you. I shared last night in one of our forgiveness sessions that we were doing with some other people that I didn't trust God in my relationship when it came to marriage, that I no longer trusted him. And reason being, because when I got married because a prophet came to me and said in an open service that this man was supposed to be my mate and my covering and so forth and so on. And only then did I open myself up to receive him as a mate. So I did. Well, years down the road, adultery was committed. My heart was broken. I was devastated. Almost lost my mind and so forth and so on. And I got angry at God. Why did I get angry at God? I got angry at God because the prophet said that this man is supposed to be my mate. And if he's a true prophet of God, then he got that word from you. And what I called myself doing was obeying God. That's who I'm obeying. I'm not necessarily obeying the prophet. He was just the one that brought the message. So I'm obeying God. Well, God, you knew this man was going to do this. You know everything. So why did you let me, your precious daughter, marry a man that was going to do something so horrible to me, so devastating to me? So I had I blamed God. And then like I said, I got to the place where I don't want to hear anything about a relationship. Don't talk to me about it. The only relationships I want to hear are from all of the couples that I now counsel. I'm going to fight like crazy to help them stay married. I'm going to get in the trenches with them because my marriage was lost. My marriage was lost, but I will fight tooth and nail for yours. And so that's what I've done. That's what I've done. Beloved, in my years of growth and maturing and so forth and so on, what God said was true. What the prophet said was true. What happened was, you know that thing called free will? That man had a free will. And what he did was what he did. He didn't adhere and obey what God said to do. He did what he did. God wasn't at fault. He was at fault. And for years, I'm holding this against God that I got hurt. No, the man hurt me. The man chose to do what he did. And that was it. So now I had to go into the stage of forgiving. I said, hear me, saints of God. I said for 6 years, every single day, please hear me. I said, today I choose to forgive you. Today I choose to forgive you. Well, you say, well, Apostle, once you've forgiven somebody, it's done, it's over with. Not necessarily, beloved, because every time those thoughts came back into my head, it brought those emotional and mental feelings back. It brought back torment to my body and so forth. And the only way to rid myself of that was for forgiveness. So I had to forgive over and over again. What did Jesus say to the man in the Word of God? Forgive 70 times 7 in a day if you have to. So just because you said, I forgive you once does not mean it's over with. You forgive as often as necessary. And it came to the point where I could stop saying it. It came to the point where I didn't feel those hurts again. Now, needless to say, in the years have gone by, I'm having some feelings here about some of those things now. And so I had to go back into that forgiveness mode. Saints of God, forgiveness is an ongoing process. Some things and some people you can forgive. You can forgive them right there on the spot. It's done. It's over with. Never again to deal with it again. There will be other things that you're going to deal with, and you're going to have to say, I forgive you on a regular basis. I need you to understand some of what forgiveness is not. Some of what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not overlooking the wrong. When we forgive, we're not excusing what that person did to us. We're not excusing that. They did it. We need to acknowledge it. And sometimes they need to acknowledge it. There will be times they won't acknowledge it. Don't worry about what they will do. You have to do the forgiving. Acknowledge what was done. Acknowledge how it changed your world. Acknowledge what it has done to you, and come to grips with those things. And then look at what you can do now to cause those things to change. In dealing with forgiveness, you may have to talk to a trusted friend. You may have to talk to clergy. You may have to talk to a therapist. Whatever the reason is, find yourself a good support system that will help you to continue on. When you find out that you're going back, you're flipping back again, get to one of these three people I just named, a trusted friend, clergy member, and a therapist. I have a friend that when I'm feeling that I'm going off, dealing with some forgiveness issues, I call her and we talk and she ministers to me. And before it's all over with, I say, okay, praise God. We can move on. I can make it another day. And that's what we all need, somebody to help us out with that. The other thing is forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. Not waiting for an apology. The person that hurt you may never apologize to you. They may never acknowledge what they have done to you. While Jesus was on the cross, being murdered on the cross, while he was there being murdered, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They never asked for forgiveness. The ones who beat him, stabbed him, nailed him, they never asked for forgiveness. But Jesus forgave, and we are to follow the example that he gave us. The other thing forgiveness is not, it is not forgetting. Don't think that because you forgave people that you're gonna always forget. There are some circumstances you will forgive somebody and you will forget. You will forget about it. You say, "Hey, okay, it's done, it's over with, fine, I'm through with it." And that's it. And you could forget about it. There are certain circumstances, depending on how deep this hurt goes, what was done, you know, somebody who was kidnapped and tortured for years, I don't care how much forgiveness they do, they're not going to forget that. Somebody that's been raped and molested and so forth, you're not going to forget that. You can forgive it, but you won't forget it. So forgiving in that case helps to start your healing process. What once was wounds, the wounds that you have, now it will turn into scars. Scars show your healing. Jesus had scars in his hands. He had scars where that spear went in his side. He probably had scars on his forehead where the thorns of that crown went into his head. There are scars there, but a scar is healing. You fell, you busted your knee, it's bleeding, the skin came off and all, but as it healed, it was a scar there. Now it's no longer a wound, it's a scar. So believe me, you won't forget, but you can forgive. I already told you that it's not a one-time event. You will forgive over and over again. And when you find yourself falling back into that same place, forgive. Please, saints of God, forgive. Also, forgiving is not you trusting somebody. Now, listen to me. A lot of people think, well, if I forgive them, then I've got to trust them. And so, no. No, listen to me. There will be somebody that you forgive, and there are legal actions that you must take because of what they did. So, if somebody murdered a family member, you forgive them, but that person is still going to court, still sitting before a judge and a jury. If they are found guilty, sentence is passed. But that did not stop you from forgiving. So forgive. It doesn't necessarily mean that you now have to trust that person. You will forgive some people and you will say to yourself, "I forgive you, but I will never be in your home again, and you're not welcome in my home again." That is okay. That doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. Now, there are times when you forgive somebody and God will have you take it that extra length and you be in their home and they be in your home. Reconciliation. But hear me, the only way there can be a reconciliation in a relationship where forgiveness has to be done is when both parties acknowledge the incident, forgiveness is sought and given. And repentance is done. When that is done, you can reconcile that broken relationship. What are the three steps? Acknowledge what was done, give forgiveness, and seek forgiveness, and then repent. When you do that, reconciliation definitely can come between the two of you. Let's see. Forgiveness is a command. It is not an option. It is a command. I read the scripture to you already that we are to forgive. If we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. It is a command. So it's a command from God. That'll be the next one down. It is a command from God. It's also a gift that God has given you. He gave that to us when he let his son go to the cross for us and take all of our sins on his back. Therefore, he was the one that paid for the sins that we did. God gave us the gift of forgiveness, and we are supposed to give that to others. I heard it being described as this. You have let's say a bottle that's open on both ends. It's open on both ends. In one end, forgiveness flows and it sits in the bottle. So it flows in and it's sitting there in the bottle. On the other side, somebody needs forgiveness. It's supposed to flow out of the other side of the bottle. It's not something that you're supposed to hold on just for you and you only, and you don't give it to somebody else. So we may be carriers of the gift of forgiveness, but we are to give that gift to somebody else. We are to give it to somebody else. Forgiveness is not a feeling. I don't care if you feel like forgiving. I told you it's a command, and therefore it is a choice. It is a decision that you make. And yes, we have to go through so many processes. Like I said, I have a lot of information, but I'm not doing all of that today. We got to go through so many processes before we can come to the place where we can say, okay, I can forgive. I will forgive. I will forgive. But understand, it is your choice. A choice. Are you going to obey the fact that God said for you to forgive? Are you going to obey? So your choice is, I'm going to obey or I'm not going to obey. He gave it to us as a command. He gave it to us as a command. And beloved, the other thing here is the fact that forgiveness does not change the past. It does not change the past. It will not fix what was broken. What it will fix is you, your attitude, and so forth, but it is not going to fix what is broken. If somebody hurt you in a relationship, end up committing adultery, it doesn't undo the adultery. If somebody stole some money from you, now definitely they can repay the money, but the things that happened during the time that money was missing, what you were going to do with that money and so forth, it can't rectify that point right now. It's not going to fix the past, but it will change what you do in the future. It will change what you do in the future. Let me hit on something else here. What happens if others don't forgive you? So we don't think about that. Like I said, all the time we're thinking about us having to forgive somebody. But you messed up. And now you're seeking forgiveness. What about them not forgiving you? That can be a challenging experience. It can be a very painful experience. While you're dealing with this, think on these things. First, do self-reflection. Take time to reflect on your actions and your intentions. Acknowledge what mistakes you made. Learn from those mistakes and understand again that forgiveness is a process and it will take time for others to heal. Just the way it takes time for you to heal, it's going to take time for others to heal. When I used to have my ministry down at the Christopher Place with my sons, these men have abused their wives. They have walked out on their children. They have stolen. They have done all kinds of terrible things. Their families were broken up. They went to jail. And now they come out of jail saying, okay, I paid my dues. So I want to come back and be in the house with my wife and with my children. I paid my dues. But I almost said, well, dude. But son, you left your wife, ran around with somebody else, you left the kids, you stole money, you got into the place of addiction, you did this, that, and the other, you tormented the family, and just because you went to jail for 6 years, you paid your dues, you come out, you ready to get back into the whole family thing, that woman and those children got to heal from what you did. So yeah, you asked for forgiveness. They may have said that, yeah, I forgive you, but no, I don't want you here right now. I got to heal. So healing is a process. So just the way we expect people to wait on us while we heal, when we seek forgiveness, we must wait on other people while they're going through their process. The other thing you need to do is apologize sincerely. If you haven't already done it, do it genuinely. There are those people where I'm sorry is just a phrase they say every day. Just the way I said, I forgive you every day, they say I'm sorry every day without any sincerity. Express remorse, take responsibility for your action, even if the forgiveness isn't immediate, and a sincere apology must be immediate. It must be. Give space for them again to process their emotions, respect their boundaries, and allow them the time that they need. Learn and grow from the experience. This is an opportunity for your personal growth. Consider how you can avoid making the same mistake in the future and show through your actions that you have changed. And then, last but not least, on if others don't forgive you, accept the outcome. Understand that forgiveness is not guaranteed. And some people may choose not to forgive you, and that's their right. Accept their decision, focus on your own growth and your own healing, and move on. Move on. There will be times when others will not forgive you. I hope that in sharing this information with you, you got a deeper understanding about forgiveness. You understand how important it is to forgive. You now know what it isn't. And I've given you some things to do if people don't accept your apology and forgive you. I pray that this strengthens your relationship with God and understanding all of this and every bit of this, every bit of this. God has got to be your focus, your rhyme and reason for doing what you're doing. You cannot go through this forgiveness thing without him, the help of the Holy Spirit. You need him. You need him to carry you through this. You need him. So I pray this helps you to reevaluate your relationship with Christ. Look at the things that have been done, acknowledge them, deal with those things, prepare your heart to forgive. It's a command from God for us to do so. Be obedient, do it, and let's get free. Let's get free. Let us come to that place where we can be free. Come to Jesus, lay those burdens down, pray for his guidance through this and the grace that's needed to forgive. We pursue forgiveness. And when we do, again, it is the beginning of a new side of our life. It's a beginning of a more peaceful future and definitely a healthier future. To God be all the glory and the honor. Saints of God, I pray again, like I said, that you receive this with the love in which it was given. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank
Awesome,
you.
awesome word. Thank you, Apostle, for sharing. Thank you for, as always, just allowing God to use you and to demonstrate to us even more of how we should live and what we're called to do. This was great, just thinking about forgiveness. Even in as we think about deliverance, we all think of things we need to be delivered from, things that we're dealing with, but we so often forget that there's things that we need to do to be delivered from ourselves. And one of the very
Absolutely.
things is forgiveness, the things that we forgot about, the ones that we still hold accountable for, issues of offense or things that we're going through, and we hold them accountable, and yet then asking God to help us to get through what we're going through. But I really something that really stuck out to me is what you said about reconciliation, the three things that it takes: acknowledgement, give and seek forgiveness, and then repent. So I really just think that's an important thing to hold on to, that reconciliation, not only between you and God, but also between you and the other people that you're dealing with, because a lot of times we have issue with our closest friends and our family that we don't realize there's things that can be reconciled that'll take us to a better place. So just even be able to pray for someone else, or to speak to someone else, or to help someone else get through, there's things that have to be reconciled within ourselves and in our relationship. So thank you, woman of God. It was an awesome teaching. Thank you as always.
Amen. God bless. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Well, saints of God,